Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, the Challenged Athletes Foundation, which is ChallengedAthletes.org, and Babbittville Radio. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio on iTunes or Babbittville.com. Our next guest, Mr. Eric McIntyre, is in the process along his pancreatic cancer victory tour of riding 7,200 miles, going through 18 states, and all of this for his beautiful wife, Liz. Eric, how are you?
I'm feeling super. I've got a day off today, and I've been able to sleep a little bit longer. And Liz is with me, so fantastic. Oh. I couldn't ask for more.
And how is Liz doing?
Liz is doing great. She's not disease-free, but she's feeling great, no disease symptoms, and we're together on our last visit before she flies up to the Washington, D.C. area to attend a National Institutes of Health vaccine trial. She goes up on the 7th, and the trial starts on the 9th.
So Eric, you're a 57-year-old grandfather, correct?
58 as of yesterday.
Yesterday was your birthday?
Yep. It sure was. It was a good day.
58 years old, and when people think about somebody, hey, I'm going to ride across the country, usually it's somebody who's, they've been a cyclist for years, they've been doing this forever. You basically decided this, and you didn't have that much background in cycling, correct?
Really no background in cycling. I'd cycled a little, and I mean a little, as far as somebody, an endurance athlete, is concerned, not at all. So it was a strange divine request, it seemed to me, and yeah. I tried to, I think I told you before, I tried to poo-poo it, kind of look at it and then stop looking at it. But it wouldn't leave me alone, and so I ended up trying to train and organize and see kind of where it would lead initially. And it kept coming together. So I thought, well, I guess I'm not supposed to ignore this. And so I started seriously training and seriously trained for about 11 months. And I know that's not really long enough to become an endurance athlete and a cyclist and all that, but it had to be enough. And so far it has been enough.
So what have you learned from this? And how you've been on the road for how long now?
Today is day 46.
Wow. 46 days, and you've been pretty consistent, around 70, 75 miles a day?
It's been somewhat less. I've had some days higher than that, days lower,
yeah,
which was expected. We had an incident where we lost the bike, our first bike off the top of the car at 70 miles an hour on day 4. That cost us some probably life expectancy. And a day of riding, and then the Volvo needed some, needed all new tires.
Yeah, I bet.
In Las Vegas, and that cost us a day. And then there have been some logistical issues and timing issues and that have cost us some miles. And some of it's been because of the good work that's been happening. We had a ride that was shorter than we might have otherwise had in Scottsdale, Arizona, because we teamed up, Champion System put us together with Team Winded, which is an advocacy ride team for asthma and
yeah,
children. And so we had a chance to ride with them, and it was an early morning Sunday training ride that was about 45 miles, which is shorter than I would normally do, but it was a chance to duplicate the message, get their message out, get our message out, and I think that I like that idea of not being exclusive. There are lots of good causes out there.
What's interesting to me is I remember when Dean Karnazes ran 50 marathons in 50 days in 50 states, and one of the things he told me that surprised him to a certain degree was a number of people who he ran into along who basically wanted to go run with him. I'm assuming that you've probably run into some people who are like, hey, because the world's so viral now, people can find you on Facebook and Twitter, and have you had people just sort of come out of nowhere and say, hey, I want to ride with you?
Yes. Maybe not as often as the gentleman you mentioned,
yeah,
but it has happened. We ran into there's some amazing stories. We ran into a group at a kind of a watering hole just on the Arizona side of the Nevada border near Mesquite.
Yep.
Three people that were out riding. One had been a professional. The other two were just like friends and family. And the wife had just lost a close friend to pancreatic cancer within the last year, and had and told me toward the end of the ride, they rode us into Mesquite and said that she felt so thankful to have ridden with me because it felt like she was riding with her friend.
Wow.
So we've had that. We've had people come up to us in parking lots and want to donate because they'd seen television news interview the night before, and we've had people. I wrote a couple of days ago with a guy named Eddie who had befriended a coworker, and that coworker lost her mother in the last 6 months to pancreatic cancer, and he just wanted to ride with me because he thought what I was doing was inspirational. He kind of wanted to share in that. And, of course, they donated and so forth. But there's been some of that, and I think it's going to grow the longer this goes. I'm not, as you in your intro correctly pointed out, an endurance athlete. Neither am I, and I'm not young. So I think it's taken a long time, naturally, organically, to build the respect and credibility for this endeavor. So people take it seriously, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that. I'm not 35 and an endurance athlete, so I think it's taken a while to prove that I'm here for the long haul.
Now, what have you learned about yourself through this? Because I'm imagining you're probably, if you're not in the best shape of your life, you're probably close.
My personality is still there. I'm never satisfied. I don't feel strong enough. When I ride with groups of real cyclists, I'm not keeping up with them like I'd like to, and so I'm always challenging myself. But I'm also really impressed at how well my body's holding up. I don't have any deficits. I've had a few aches and pains, things to work through that have kind of lingered longer than I would like, but they've all resolved, and I feel really good physically, other than being, you know, just muscle fatigue. I'm doing great.
How many miles have you ridden so far?
About 2,200.
2,200, and I'm imagining that's more than you've rode in your life up until then.
Well, I put in about 5,000 miles of training.
Okay.
In that 11 months. So I haven't passed that yet, but in terms of consistently high miles,
yeah,
by far. Yeah, I mean, this is 2,200 miles in basically 39 riding days. So it's even though I've ridden more miles in training, this is a real test for me. And I wanted that. This kind of mirrors what Liz is going through, and as somebody in Socorro, New Mexico, told me, he was a cyclist. We talked about everything, all the rigors of cycling, the wind and the weather and so forth. And he says, but in the end, compared to what your wife's going through,
yeah,
this ain't nothing.
It's true. It is really true. So you're four days in, and you've got your bike on the roof of the car, and next thing you see is your bike, I'm imagining, scattered across a few lanes of traffic.
Yeah, it actually sort of hung together.
Oh, it stayed in one piece.
And yeah, but it was pretty mangled. And the videographer with me, Todd Hillman, who is also the sag wagon driver, pulled over and ran across highway traffic to go get it out of the road before anybody hit it. And fortunately, it didn't hit anybody or any vehicle, and no vehicle hit it. But it was a real gut check because, you know, here we are, a 6-hour drive from home. Is this a sign we're supposed to turn around or persevere? And of course we decided to persevere. And, I'd already had a contact reach out to me through Facebook from a bike shop in Houston, and it turned out that the bike that I wanted initially before I got the bike I destroyed was sitting on a rack in the first shop we went to.
Wow.
And so it, after double-checking and searching the other Houston area bike shops by phone, we ended up buying that bike and getting a really good deal from a place called Urban Bicycle Gallery in Houston. And they were great to us and used the old frame to fit us to the new bike. And I've been riding on it and loving the new bike ever since.
So the hashtag is PCV Tour. And is the best website for people to go to is just Lazarex Cancer Foundation, lazarex.org?
Yeah, they can do that, and they can, if they're into the CrowdRise stuff, it's crowdrise.com/PCBTour, and if people are interested in supporting what we are doing from an expense standpoint, we're into it for a lot of dollars, and we'll be into it for a lot more by the time we're done, because we're self-funding it.
Right.
It's gofundme.com/PCBTour. I don't give that out a lot, because I don't want to lose the initial... The primary message of donating to Lazarex, but there are people out there that we know and or that's kind of what they love to do is support the cause, the expense side. So we put that out there.
When you first mentioned to Liz that, hey, I got an idea, I'm going to ride, you know, 7,200 miles through 18 states, what was her initial reaction to this concept?
That I was crazy.
Yeah.
But that I might also... be the kind of person that could pull it off.
She knew. She knew you well enough to know that you're not just going to say something to say it.
Right. I don't often just throw out ideas and ignore them. If it's enough to have a conversation about, which this was,
yeah.
It wasn't a, hey, what do you think about this? It was more of a conversation of, hey, I'm thinking about this and this is why. Then yeah, she'll take it seriously. But I think she was, and she has been. She's been worried about me, and
yeah,
just as I've been worried about her. So it's she knew it was serious. I think pretty quickly.
And you're in California now. What are your next few days? Where will you be riding?
Well. That's one of the things about the tour that has changed that's been a little surprising is how it's morphed into more of an event kind of tour rather than a linear tour from place to place. So tonight we have a sunset celebration with some cyclists and other people that are going to come out to Santa Monica Beach on a bike path that's there, and we're going to do a little ceremonial ride even though it's my day off and just kind of celebrate what's happened so far and what we're trying to do. And then tomorrow, there's like three different cycling teams, members of which are going to join us for an out and back up Highway 1, Pacific Coast Highway.
Nice.
And then Friday is still a little open. Originally, it was going to be riding over the Grapevine into the Central Valley, or at least up that direction toward getting over the Grapevine. But now it looks like we might have another kind of circular out and back route in the valley with another team of cyclists. So that's one of the things about the tour. I've been planning very often the next day, the night after we finish a ride, because of changes that have happened and communications that are happening,
which is great.
Between me and Lazarex, yeah, it's been good because it means that people are interested and involved. And like I said, the longer we do this, the more credibility it has. And so we're starting to get people reaching out to us rather than us having to do the work of reaching out to them to get involvement.
Had you spent much time traveling the country before? What have you come away with from spending so much time on your bike, looking at, you know, going through different states?
Well, the beauty is diverse and amazing. I've been to Zion National Park and the Grand Canyon. And,
yeah.
high desert, low desert, and through wooded areas, and now I'm along the ocean. And it's amazing that the thing that I think has surprised me the most is that the conditions of the roads, and particularly the shoulders along the so-called designated bike routes, are leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
We've been in some pretty dangerous situations with like 65-mile-an-hour speed limits with big trucks and no shoulder. And I don't know if I'll ever have a voice in the cycling community, but one thing that I've been kind of shocked about is that you cannot ride on the vast majority of the interstate miles in this country. But if you are driving on them, you can see that they would be by far the safest way to travel on a bike.
No question.
They have huge shoulders, well manicured most of the time. Rumble strips to remind the drivers that they're getting out of their lane. But you can't ride on them. And I understood why with high speed limits and all that, and until I started getting on rural highways with just as high speed limits and little or no shoulder. So, and much narrower lanes.
Yeah, very narrow.
So that is something I've definitely learned, and I've tried to share a little bit as I blog on Facebook about the road conditions we encounter.
What's been the toughest stretch so far in terms of the riding itself?
The training in New Orleans meant no hills.
Right, yes.
And so, and it also meant, because I was doing a lot out and back or back and forth on the lakefront, at least I had some time with wind at my back. So I had a stretch from Socorro, Carrizozo, New Mexico to Socorro, New Mexico, with 35-mile-an-hour headwinds.
Yeah.
That was really tough. That was a long and not very productive day. The other thing was a stretch from Payson, Arizona, to the Scottsdale area of about 65 miles that had about 4,000 feet of climbing.
Yeah.
And that nearly, I had one stretch, about a 7-mile stretch that was 100% uphill.
Yep.
And that took everything I had to get up that. And in terms of exhaustion, that was my hardest day.
So when this is over, when do you figure that you'll be done with the ride?
Well, the schedule now is to get home on August 8th.
So you get Saturday. You get home on August 8th. Is it one of the things where you go, okay, I never want to get on a bike seat the rest of my life? Or do you think now, you know what, cycling is going to be part of me forever?
I think closer to the latter. It's still a tool right now.
Yeah.
I'm a mule just trying to accomplish a goal.
Yeah, right.
And raise a lot of money and awareness for the fight against pancreatic cancer. But I do enjoy riding a lot. And I also, because I'm a multitasker, I still see it possibly as a tool. I'm virtually certain I'm not going to be able to make the 7,200 miles for the reasons I've already stated. So it would give me an opportunity to maybe lend whatever small amount of notoriety I have to help other groups raise money and ride with them to fill in the miles.
Nice. Great idea.
So that's kind of what I've been thinking about doing, even if I've got to pack up the bike or ship it somewhere to do it, that it would be an opportunity to continue to take advantage of the cycling that I'm doing and hopefully the little bit of name recognition that I'm building.
So are you, now that you're cycling, you've been cycling for a while, are you shaving down yet, shaving the legs?
I have not done that. Are you recommending it?
Oh, well, if you're getting massage on a regular basis, and once you become a real cyclist, you got to do massage. It's if you watch the movie Breaking Away, that was what it came down to, and that's why all of us started shaving our legs after we watched Breaking Away. It was like, okay, all the top cyclists.
So that stayed with you.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, all the triathlete guys. Yeah, yeah. You'll know you're a real cyclist when you walk in their bike shop and they're going to go, "You're shaving your legs, Eric. You're the real deal."
Okay.
You better have your guy film that too. That'll be your biggest episode when you start shaving your legs. Oh yeah,
that'll happen in a closet somewhere. I'll tell you that.
So what have you raised dollar wise so far, and what's the goal?
Well, we're at about 17,000 right now.
Good for you.
It's my goals are lofty. I would be happy with six figures, but my original vision was for seven, and so I'm going to stick with that and hope that there's some other potential relationships and major donors out there that I think are at least taking a look at what we're doing and thinking about it. And so I'm hoping that, you know, I can be the good mule and continue to inspire. And Liz is the main story, and she's inspiring people as well. And I think her presence out there tonight with the Sunset Celebration is going to be a good thing for the tour, because of it. As I've said before, this is not a memorial ride. This is a victory ride, because we've got a lot of good things happening, and my wife is with me. So
love it. I love it. Again, we're talking the Pancreatic Cancer Victory Tour. You can find out more information at Lazarex, LAZAREX.org. And Eric McIntyre has been our guest, and he will be shaving his legs tonight in Santa Monica for anybody who wants to come out and check it out. That will bring the media out there, Eric.
That's a lot of pressure, Bob.
I know. Well, that's what I'm all about, baby. I'm all about bringing the pressure. I appreciate you taking so much time to chat, Eric. Congratulations on everything you're doing. I'm jazzed that our buddy Mike Plant came through and did a rap on the vehicle, and it sounds like every day you're getting more and more support, which is wonderful.
Yeah, we've got some really good events coming up in the Fresno area and Danville, where Lazarex is headquartered, and beyond there. So we're excited about it, and it does help to motivate me.
Love it. Congratulations, Eric. Appreciate everything, dude. Please give our best to Liz.
Thank you. I'll sure do that. Thanks for your time.
Eric McIntyre has been our guest. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, ChallengedAthletes.org. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio and on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.